This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Breaking Ground, a new podcast about earth-moving machinery and characters in the industry. If you're in the earth-moving industry, a machine owner, a classic machinery lover, or anyone interested in this side of New Zealand life, then this show's for you. Both your hosts work for Terra Cat, New Zealand's Caterpillar machinery dealer. I'm Marty Terrick.
And I'm Richard Clark. In this podcast, we'll hear stories from a wide range of characters in the industry, and today we'd like to introduce you to Olivia Thompson from Thompson Earthmoving. Terra Cat has partnered with Olivia to share her perspective on the earthmoving industry and hopefully encourage new machine operators to follow in her tracks. There's a huge shortage of operators in New Zealand and not many young women in this space, but Olivia loves machines and is carving out a really successful career. Welcome, Olivia.
Thanks, guys.
So, Olivia, just to start, when did you first become passionate about the industry?
I think back to when I was a little girl and my dad would be grading the ski field roads and he used to pop me in the cab with him, my blankie, packet of Tim Tams, and I used to go down and grade the road and wave to all the cars coming up. That's probably one of my first memories of the industry. And then after that I helped out Phil doing his surveying in my summer holidays, and it's just sort of evolved. The more I got to know and learn about the industry, the more I became to enjoy it and understood it, and I guess that's where the passion sort of grew from.
Nice. So it sounds like you mentioned your dad and Phil there, so it sounds like you've mentioned a couple of people or had a couple of people that have influenced you, but who's been your biggest supporter or, I suppose, mentor or role model in your career so far?
There's so many people that help you along the way, like even on a new job site, just helping you out in a new machine and things like that, but definitely my dad. He's taught me everything I know. He's no good when it comes to computers, or he likes to think he is, but so that sort of thing I've picked up and probably helped him with, but in terms of operating machinery and learning the processes of the work and things like that, definitely dad. He's it's amazing what he can do in a machine, and sometimes I'm just like, whoa, it just blows my mind.
And is there anyone else that sort of potentially you've learnt from other than Phil, guys that you've maybe worked with, or girls that that you've worked with since you started?
My friend Terry, he's an 82-year-old operator. He comes and works for us over his Christmas break and things like that, and he's just inspiring with the stories that he can tell and the jobs that he's been on, and the fact that he's still working when he's 82 and he jumps in and out of the cabs like a 50-year-old or even younger. And he just go all the time, and I think it's pretty inspiring how hard he works, and yeah, learned a lot from him.
Oh, fantastic. So obviously he's been doing that for a long time. He's been motivated to stay in the industry for that amount of time. What about yourself? What motivates you to get up in the morning and go to work?
I think it's this element that, like, no 2 days are the same. I'm lucky in my work is that I get such a variety of things that I can do and the machines that I can drive, so I'm not stuck in one machine. I get to do everything from pricing to organizing, designing logos, driving the machinery, traveling across site, dropping parts, dropping trailers, things like that. There's always the weather, working outside in the outdoors, not so great in the rain but also fun sometimes too. I think just the variety and the people on site, like there's some real characters like Terry himself and the surveyors and everyone that comes together to sort of see the job progress, and each day you get that little bit closer to the finish line of the finished project, and it excites you to see the end coming together.
That sounds awesome, and it sort of sounds like no 2 days are the same as well. Everything's sort of quite different to what you did yesterday kind of thing. We're sort of seeing like quite a big change in industry at the moment, definitely as a background of a mechanic, and that where we're getting a lot of people coming in from different industries over to our industry, is sort of a lot of young people coming through as well. So what sort of advice would you give to someone that's sort of looking at pursuing a career with a similar path to yourself, and what would you sort of say to them?
I would definitely say take every opportunity you get. Like, you might be petrified to get in a machine like I was when I first got in a scraper. There was no way I was going to drive that around site. I remember Phil hanging at the door and I was like crying, being like, no, I'm not doing this, get me out of here. And now, like, I've progressed so far from that, and every chance you get to drive something new, take it. Even if it's just like driving it into the yard or reversing it or anything like that, you've got to start from somewhere. Like, even if you're on a shovel or you're on a survey, you're assisting a surveyor or anything, you soak up so much information just being in the environment, and then even being a gopher, like collecting parts and things like that, you learn the machines and you learn what filters go with what and how it all sort of comes together. And I think just, yeah, saying yes to things and not being afraid to sort of put yourself in the deep end, even though the machines are huge and the tyres are taller than you and things like that. Like, it's, you're in control, and there's always the people that will help you, or always help you out with the safety and things like that, and there to help you and make sure nothing happens.
No, that's great. So you sort of said about before, you know, you were terrified of that cat motor scraper, you know, when you started. You've obviously got, you know, a favourite machine probably now. Tell us what that is, and maybe why you really enjoy it.
Well, it's funny I said that, because now the Cat 637 scraper, or the 637G, is definitely my favourite. It's probably the biggest machine I've ever driven, and two engines, one on the front, one on the back, bowl in the middle for people that don't know what they look like, massive big tyres that are taller than me, and it's just got this manoeuvrability that some of the small machines don't even have. Like, I can pivot in a circle on my back tyres, get up any hill, any time that you're in a bit of bother, you put the bowl down, it's got that element of safety, but also you're so much bigger than everyone else, you just feel like you're on top of the world, literally, when you're in that, making dust and moving the dirt. I think it's 24 cubic metres in the bowl, so we can get a lot done in a day, and when there's a few of us working, you can drastically see the changes in a job site when they're all working together, and it's sort of teamwork with the bulldozer pushing us, or yeah, it's that element of satisfaction with the scraper that it just really gets the work done.
That's really great to hear.
You can definitely imagine seeing a site change, like you say, so quickly when you've got that sort of size gear. And I remember an operator referring to me, said the scraper bowl's your biggest handbrake or your biggest emergency brake ever, because it will stop you quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I suppose you obviously worked in a lot of different sites and things like that. What's one of the biggest misunderstanding that you think that people have about, I suppose, the earthmoving industry and the sort of processes on different sites and that?
I think for me, the biggest misunderstanding is that earthmoving's for boys, and that girls can't do earthmoving, or like, we're not as strong, or we're not as into it as boys are. But I think definitely, yeah, there are a lot more girls in the industry than people might think, and even running behind the scenes, like the paperwork, the pricing, all of these boys who are in the machines all day, there's definitely a girl behind the scenes making sure that they're getting it all together. I think it's also not just moving dirt. There's so many elements that come together in the earthmoving industry to make the subdivisions and the roads and the highways that we all drive on, probably without batting an eyelid. Like, you've bought a house or a piece of land, and to build that, there's been surveyors, engineers, earthworks, civil guys, roading. There's so many different elements of the earthmoving industry that come together to create something, and I think that's, a lot of the time it's branded under one company, but they've got all these subcontractors that all put in the hard work as well and bring the vision to life.
Yeah, it must be pretty cool to be able to sort of drive past, you know, a project that you've been completed or been on, and sort of say that, you know, you're involved with that.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think you see a site at the start and it's just a bare paddock, and then you drive past a year or two later and it's landscaped and it's planted out and there are families living there, and you're just like, wow, I remember when there was just grass and cows and now people are living their lives in this thing that essentially you've created.
And it will last forever too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I suppose, you know, from early beginnings, and you've learnt your way through the industry, and, you know, from time to time, we all sort of make mistakes here and there. Is there something, for an example, of maybe a mistake or a failure that you experienced, and what was it, and how did you learn from it?
There's been countless mistakes and failures along the way. A lot of them involve getting stuck. I think I've definitely learned that I can't drive a grader everywhere that Phil can drive a grader. There's been a few hairy moments in the roller, and when I was first beginning and not knowing to turn the vibrating off when I'm going on a batter, and suddenly I'm down in the ditch and the grader's towing me out. In the scraper also, they are, whilst manoeuvrable, they don't handle very well in the mud. Getting stuck is a common occurrence, but it's better to get stuck when the boss isn't around. There's also things like with the sort of admin side of it, getting the paper trail of things like that, not running out of fuel. Yeah, there's mistakes all the time, and I guess it's just a learning process and knowing that there's going to be lots more, and just building yourself up from them and doing your best to, you know, learn from your mistakes and keep going.
Yeah, I'm sure you've come a long way from there. Now, one thing I was going to bring up is I'd heard a wee rumour that you had driven a cat grader from Christchurch to Wanaka. So obviously, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, Phil's got this thing about buying graders that are ages away and I have to drive them home. That's actually not my longest trip. I did a trip this time last year from Nelson to Wanaka. That one took me 22 hours and 2 days. And actually, just as I was coming along, like how we are at probably 6 o'clock at night on my way home, a four-wheel drive flagged me down. They were stuck and I had to tow them out. So I was like, oh, I can't really say no when I'm in this. And then recently from Christchurch to Wanaka as well. And that I did that overnight. It's actually, I don't mind driving the grader. It's a little bit, I get quite a sore arm holding the lever the whole time, and it gets quite bouncy. And I also learned that the fuel gauge in that grader doesn't work. And I got to Mayfield and was like, oh, I better just double check this. And sure enough, it was empty. So that would have been a disaster if I carried on. But no, it's good, and you get a lot of toots. And I had a guy pull me over and say, this is just amazing. I can't believe you're doing this. So you meet a lot of friends doing sort of out there things like that.
Yeah, certainly a pretty cool thing to do. And as you say, you would have made a lot of friends on those two trips that you just explained.
Yeah.
I suppose it takes you back as well. Like, you see all the pictures of when the dams were built and stuff like that, and all the machinery is literally just driven over to the place of work, whereas now we sort of transport stuff a lot more and that sort of thing, but convoys of just machinery going over. So
yeah, it's pretty old school, isn't it? So yeah,
it's a good way to do it. I suppose... what's one of the biggest challenges you think you're sort of punching ground as sort of woman in industry and I want to say sort of leading the charge in that with social media and things like that? So what's one of the biggest challenges you think for more women considering to get into the earth moving industry at sort of an operator side of things?
I think it's perceived to a lot of girls that it's just a man's industry, and I guess in the past it has been, but now it's sort of more of an equal playing field and girls can do everything boys can do. There's actually a lot of owners and operators that I know that prefer to hire girls because we're more gentle on machine and we're probably not as rough and bust as boys are. The hours of work also might affect women's involvement in the industry, but also people will compensate for having people involved. There's such a shortage right now of operators. When you're in the industry, the people higher up and sort of the bosses and things are mostly men, and I guess there's also not that the role models of other women sort of there to help and understanding what girls go through and how it is a bit harder for us.
So whether you sort of place as a role model in that to encourage more females to get into the industry? What sort of what's the path if someone was looking at becoming an operator that you'd sort of tell them to go down?
I'd definitely recommend reaching out to someone that you know in the industry. I think the industry is screaming out for people, so there'll always be people that will give you a chance to try. There's also like options of Connexus and apprenticeships. I did an apprenticeship when I first started in civil works, and it's book work and you're on site and you're learning and you're writing and things like that. There's Trade Me, Seek, job opportunities, calling into a site office, or if an earth moving company has an office in town, calling in and asking them how to go about it. They've always got people that are doing summer holiday work or weekends. I think people are really willing to give people a shot in the industry at the moment, and you never know where it can lead.
Just getting out there and giving it a go. Just give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, I think there's some really good options there in terms of females considering a career in the industry. So, some good options there. But in terms of moving forward, what do you think in terms of the challenges or changes that you see or maybe are going to happen in the industry in the next 10 years? Is there anything that sort of stands out that you think might be changing or a challenge?
I definitely think we're going to see some shifts in the amounts of girls operating machines and on-site. I actually saw on Instagram the other day in Victoria, I think it was, they've made it mandatory for 3% of staff have to be females on construction sites. Those changes and the technology, I think the GPS and the grade control systems, and it's making it so easy and foolproof for work, that no more string lines, no more laser levels and things like that that are just a recipe for disaster if you're me controlling them. So definitely technology changes, more girls in the industry, and the health and safety is always changing, and I guess we're evolving with that, and the environmental controls and impacts on the environment, dust and water runoff and things like that. There's, like I said before, so many elements to this industry that all come together, and whilst to the outside it might look like we just sling dirt from one pile to another, there's all these things that come into the industry to sort of make it a better place to work, for the environment, the hours, the machines, everything.
I suppose you touched on a really good point there around like the control piece. I remember being told, the cost of over digging a hole and then having to fill it back in and getting it back up is just so ginormous as far as the blowouts of projects go and that sort of thing. So you sort of see that being a good piece coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, I mean, I operate a survey drone at work, and so I can fly it over, drone the whole site and take the quantities from there, and nothing's missed. And then I can know the boys are at home working today, and I know that bedder is going to be perfectly to design, and no one's going to muck up a level or a string line or anything, and it's right in front of them. So it sort of lets you take a step back at the same time as progressing and making the work go faster and more accurate.
Do you find that sort of helps with like costing jobs and stuff like that as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And the volumes, we can know how much we've moved in a time over a certain haul distance and things like that, and calculate it back to meter rates, hourly rates, the amount of fuel and everything with the cat online, seeing the fuel usage, the hours and where the machine is and things like that. Everything helps with the cost analysis of the projects.
So it sounds like you're really enjoying the sort of technology progression and stuff like that coming through. So no, that's good.
So Olivia, you've got a pretty good presence on social media. Do you want to tell us, how our listeners can connect with you online?
They can contact me through Instagram. My Instagram name's Olivia Jane Thompson, Thompson with no P. And through Terracat as well, you might see me pop up on their Instagram feed from time to time. They will definitely put you in contact with me if ever you want to reach out, and I'm more than happy to help anyone who's wanting to get involved in the industry or ask any questions. And
No, that's great. I mean, we're really enjoying partnering with you, Olivia. It's early days in terms of the the online, you know, social presence that we've got the partnership going with. But yeah, great to get some really good content from you, and looking forward to getting some more over the next 12 months.
Thanks so much, guys. This has been fun.
So thanks, Olivia, for coming today to today's Breaking Ground podcast. And thanks so much to our listeners. We hope you've all enjoyed today's show, and we'd love your feedback. So send us a message on any one of our TerraCat social media channels. Please keep your eyes on TerraCat's Facebook page for next month's show.